Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 7th day of September, Anno Domini 2019, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And it's 6 minutes after the hour. We are hurtling headlong into our 31st year on the air. We're 4 days into our 31st year. I really want to thank all of you for the last 30 years. It's you folks that keep this show on the air. It's your calls that keep us on the air. And we had a great party last week, and we really want to thank everybody.
That was a lot of fun. That was really great.
Yeah, we had a whole lot of people. If you're on YouTube, check last week's show. We had a truly great group of people show up. Thanks to all of you. And so many of you were wearing the limited edition 30th anniversary Soundbite shirts, which were limited edition and are now out for a while. And we're done with that. So I don't know why I said a while. They're done. We're not out. It was a limited edition. All right. And here's the news. Windows 10 users haven't had it easy in recent months. And while some problems were out of Microsoft's control, the company has brought a lot of problems on itself, and now users need to watch out for another. This is like deja vu all over again. It's like deja vu all over again. Users are warning that Microsoft's latest Windows 10 update is hitting performance hard. And what's most frustrating is Windows was warned about this prior to release, shipped it anyway, and continues to ignore it. Showing up for anyone who hits the check for updates button in Windows Update, KB4512941 was released to fix multiple problems, including bugs in Windows Sandbox, black screen issues, and more. But inside the update is a botched Cortana fix, which is causing the service to gobble up to 40% of a user's CPUs. That's right. Wave goodbye to half your PC's power and a good chunk of your battery life. Unsurprisingly, complaints are rising across social media forums and Windows 10 Feedback Hub. But what's most frustrating is Microsoft's response, because the update was actually beta tested on the company's 10 million Windows insiders for more than a week. Insiders subsequently reported CPU problems multiple times, but were ignored. The good news is that users have a workaround. Microsoft has finally acknowledged the problem by tweet, no less, which is apparently the way every major everything gets announced these days. There's a registry patch key that's a registry key patch that's supposed to alleviate the problem to some degree, but lots of people are also saying it did nothing for them. In the end, there's currently no quick fix for the larger problem at hand, Microsoft's garbage quality control. Quality control that in the last month alone has seen Windows 10 1903 updates hit by a series of obscure failure codes or just outright failures and blue screens, Bluetooth connections broken, wormable vulnerabilities discovered in every version of Windows 10, and a pair of Steam exploits which impacted almost 100 million Windows users. Microsoft has already promised to be better, but it's time the talking stopped.
How many times have they promised to be better?
Yeah, every time.
I wouldn't hold my breath on that one.
Ain't that the truth? Is your Windows 10 behaving? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
If anything, I think it's on one machine that I have for my wife, I think it slowed things down.
40%. Take a look at the CPU usage. Cortana is using 40% of your CPU. So if she's on a laptop, not only is her power cut in half, so is the battery life.
I have to check that. Well, she's got it plugged in most of the time anyway.
Then that part's okay, but it's still
sucking up a lot and slowing things down and everything else.
There's only two fixes. Well, there's three fixes. Nobody expects Spanish Inquisition. One, Linux. Mm-hmm. Two, Chromebook. Three, Mac, your Mac. Those are your three fixes for the Windows problem. That's it. Otherwise, you're living
cost
with it.
Cost me, cost me, cost me.
Well, yeah, get over yourself. No, you can put Linux on the machine
she's got. I
just bought
her this one. Yeah.
You can put Linux on the machine she's got. That's a free fix.
Yeah.
There you are. You're welcome.
Yeah.
A free fix.
And?
Won't cost you a penny.
You want a trainer?
No. Yeah. I didn't say it would cost you heartache and sleeping in the garage, but it won't cost you a penny.
And it makes you not want to install the updates, but there have been so many, you know, zero-day critical flaws that need to be updated.
Yep.
It's so unplug from the internet and stop using the internet.
Well, that's
a fix.
That's a fix.
The other thing, though, is I've also checked
four.
Right now my internet speed.
You really didn't expect
that. Yeah.
Because I did the check on that, and I'm up to 85% of, or 85, you know, I'm paying for 60.
Megabits.
I'm getting 85. So.
No, they've been in most areas, and it depends on how many people are on your head end.
Yeah.
And it also depends on the time of day you check. At 6 p.m.
Oh,
or 8 p.m.,
yeah.
You'll get a different reading than you will
first thing in the morning.
Right,
yeah.
right. Oh, so, yeah. But when there's not a lot of other people doing stuff, you get a pretty high volume of a pretty high
Our
rate.
Our numbers keep increasing for green light.
Yeah.
We're up to, I think, 72% for my area. Down the street, they're up to 78. So I'm thinking they'll just... Right
and out. That is one thing about green light. No matter what time of day I check it, it is always the same. Sorry. I'm just helping you prepare your mind and how joyful you will be when it finally happens.
Oh, mine was at 95 last time I checked.
Well, that's a good number.
Yeah.
Heck yeah, you're there then.
And they've got a much better...
Yeah, much better map.
Now.
Yeah,
I got to be honest. If anybody from Greenlight is listening, God bless you. That map is way better than it used to be.
I've heard a number of folks say though, because the Greenlight comes in their area, and they're signing up for it. That Spectrum's trying to say, well, you don't want to leave, and they're trying to talk them out of it and everything else, and they can't really give any good reason not to cut the cord and go with Greenlight.
Jack Garner just cut the cord.
Oh, did he?
He's got green light, and bang, he cut the cord. He's done.
Yep.
Jack Garner, the guy who is movies, TV, all that stuff in Rochester, cut the cord.
Well, there's no reason not to. Look at most folks. They're walking around, like we've said for the past few weeks. Everybody's walking around with either a tablet or a notebook or a Chromebook, and they're watching movies or listening to music all through the internet.
Yep.
I mean, you can even get, you know, Netflix and all these other services right there on your personal device and not have to be tied to time, Spectrum.
Right. All right, we should go to the phones. Tom's been waiting patiently in Irondequoit, New York. Hiya, Tom. What's up?
Hi, how are you? I bought a new Dell computer probably about 8 years ago, running Windows 10. And when I bought the new computer, the technical company where I bought it from, they transferred everything over from the old computer to the new computer. And whenever I had to run a Word or Excel file, I had to go to the directory and, like, click on the file I wanted, and the Word or the Excel program came up. I never could find the Word or Excel program on the computer. But everything worked fine, no problem. Just recently, when I clicked on the computer, or on a file, a Word file, it would just run and never come up. If I click on an Excel file, I get the error message about an application virtualization error. And it gives me an error code. I did a little research, and it told me to go to the start menu, type in appwiz.cpl and like uninstall it and then reinstall it. But when I typed in appwiz.cpl, I didn't get the screen, which I found on the Microsoft technical.
Well, okay, first it's appwiz.cpl.
CPL, yes. I said that.
For control panel. And you can manually go to it by going into the control panels and They renamed it now.
Yeah.
Windows features, add remove programs. Programs and features, uninstall.
Okay,
that takes you
so
right
I
to ha- that.
What, I have to uninstall?
Well, hold on a second.
Yeah.
So how long have you had the new machine?
Probably 7 years.
The new machine?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said he's bought it 9 years ago.
Okay.
I'm guessing.
So it's not still under. It's not still under warranty. That's what we were.
The warranty's. It was a 1 year warranty on it.
Yeah. Otherwise, you go have them fix it.
Yeah. No, I bought it in 2012, so it was 7 years ago.
Yep. Okay. Okay. Boy.
Everything was always running fine. I could just never find the. The Word or the Excel
it's buried in
when I had on my old computer.
The programs are buried under the Windows program directory file.
Yeah,
you don't find them.
Well, you got to go to programs, 86? And under there, you'll find the Microsoft folder. And then under the Microsoft folder, you'll see Excel or PowerPoint. Another thing that you could do is, now, do you still have the icon on your desktop?
For what?
Excel or Word?
I tried to put that on my desktop.
Okay,
but I never could find the program to put it on my desktop.
Well, you might be able to find the program by hitting the Start menu.
Yes.
And then on the left are the list of all the programs.
On the Start menu.
Yeah, on the Start. When you hit the little down in the lower left corner is the little Start button.
The Start button
with the Microsoft
it
logo.
Looks like the Microsoft logo.
I don't see that. You mean when I hit the Start menu, I get all these listening. Starts with 3D Viewer, and then everything is in...
Sure. On the left of that should be a whole list of programs that you can scroll down.
What operating system are you running?
Windows 10.
Windows 10.
He might have the old...
Yeah, it sounds like you have the old Start menu. So in that Start menu is a list of all your installed programs. You should be able to scroll down through there and find the shortcut to Microsoft Office.
But you would find Microsoft Office, not necessarily Word.
Or Excel.
Right.
And wouldn't find it under E or W. You'd find it under M for Microsoft.
Yeah, no, I even looked at that. I got Microsoft Office PowerPoint, Microsoft Office Starter.
What you can do, too, I believe, if he goes to the right next to the Start button is a blank where you can type in a command line.
To the right of the...
If you put in, if you put in, say, word.exe,
okay.
hit enter, see if it'll find it.
Word.exe.
Yeah, if you have to manually go through the Windows directory, the program files directory to get to those .exe files, you can make a shortcut yourself, but they should be in the Start menu.
It find it?
Yeah, it says under word.exe.
All right, wait a minute. Hold on.
Yeah?
Now that you see it there, if you right-click on it, does it allow you to say add shortcut to desktop?
Well, it's...
Right-click on the...
Hold on a second. What happened when you typed word.exe?
Well, okay, now I just... Okay, when I right-clicked on it, I get a thing that says Word.exe is a process belonging to vb.iw Trojan.
Oh, you've got... Yeah, that's what I was worried about.
I got some... Okay.
You got some malware that's blocking your office.
Yep. Yep-er.
Okay. All righty. Yeah, I just... Okay, so something took control of it.
Yep. And that's what happened. That's what I was worried about. So what you need to do is start by dancing the Security Tango.
Okay.
At securitytango.com.
Yep. No, I've done that before.
Okay, do it again.
Okay.
If that does not fix it, your problem is a rootkit. And that's going to have to be taken to somebody because they're going to have to pull the drive and clean it outside your computer.
Okay.
Unless you have a second computer you can clean it with.
Right, unless you want to do that yourself.
Nah, it's just my old computer. Okay.
Sorry.
I've been very careful of what I click on. But somebody did tell me that their Facebook account was hacked, and I don't know if
Yeah, the problem nowadays is you don't have to do anything to get hacked.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to, there's, like Steve is always saying, we used to tell you don't go to the scuzzy places on the internet. Now, it doesn't matter. They're everywhere.
And just displaying the ad on your webpage can infect you. You don't even have to click on the ad.
Right. Yeah, okay. Let me ask you another quick question about the Security Tangle. I thought I read or heard you guys say at one time to put all of those files on a separate disk.
Yeah, well, what we tell people to do, if they can, is download all of the stuff from the Tango.
Yeah,
on
when
a
I do that, it goes all over my computer, and then when I'm in safe mode, sometimes I have problems finding it.
Yeah, maybe let me finish, if I may.
Okay.
We tell people to download all the files from the Tango on a clean machine, which at this point means not yours.
Okay.
And put them on a thumb drive.
Okay, could I downloading it to like a separate hard drive?
With a separate computer.
With a separate computer is the important part.
Right, because your computer is infected, and many of the infections prevent you from installing the anti-programs.
Or infect them as they are downloading.
Okay.
So you need to go to a friend's house and put them on a thumb drive. Now, some thumb drives, and very few of them nowadays, can be locked. However, SD cards can still be locked. So once you've put them on the thumb drive, lock that thumb drive.
Lock it, meaning where nothing else could go on it?
Right, and that way, when you bring it back to your machine, it can't get infected by the programs on your machine.
Okay, now how do you lock the thumb drive?
There'll be a locking slide on it.
Thumb drives mostly don't lock anymore. Yep. SD cards lock.
Okay.
And the SD cards have a little white, the little blue cards. They have a little white switch on the side, and they're normally unlocked.
Yeah, it's
and then
a very little tiny switch on the side of it.
You remember the old floppy disk days where you had the slide thing that opened the hole in the disk?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
same idea.
The SD cards have a locking button like that.
Okay.
Some, very few flash drives do, but a lot of SD cards do.
Yep.
SD cards. Okay, I'm not familiar with the SD cards.
That's usually what goes in your camera, but you can put them in computers, too.
Many computers have a slot for them. If you have a laptop, it almost always has an SD card slot on the side. So you should be able to use that.
Okay. All righty. Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Bye.
Yeah, we have definitely, this poor guy is infected with something.
Now, and that's interesting because a lot of the infections don't try to break your computer because they want it to run so it can spread the infection. And the ones that do, lock down your computer usually ask for a ransom.
Right. I think what happened is he just got one that was poorly written.
Yeah. See, that was always the problem with viruses. Not that they did anything overly bad in the early days, but they were written so badly that they caused your machine to crash and have problems.
Right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Rich from Rondacoit, New York. Hi, Rich. What's up?
Hello, gentlemen. I'd like to say congratulations on your first 30 years, and hopefully there's 30 more of them.
Yep, thank you very much. That would be great. I'll be 100, but that would be great.
I was unable to make the party, but
missed you.
Like I said, I hope it goes 30 years more, and I'll come to that party.
Yeah, it's a deal.
Question. Problem with Frontier Mail or trying to set up the IMAP-type mail for Frontier Mail on a tablet or on a iPad, I should say. I have searched the internet or searched Google and stuff for the addresses to be able to set up the IMAP service. I believe Frontier uses Yahoo somehow.
Right. Frontier does not offer IMAP. So you can't tell your device it's a Frontier account or a regular internet account. If you tell it it's a Yahoo account, that will usually work.
Because I've done that. I've set up using the IMAP addresses for Yahoo.
Yeah,
IMAP.mail.yahoo.com. What's that?
IMAP.mail.yahoo.com.
Yes.
They do require SSL, so you have to make sure you turn SSL on when you're doing your setup.
Yes.
What error do you get when you try to do it?
It just doesn't verify, it says.
That usually is either you haven't got the port correct.
I think there was the first one was 993 or 995, and then they gave another one, too, and some of the ones that I've seen for 465, I think.
Yeah. That's for outbound SMTP. For IMAP, it should be 993.
Okay, I've tried the 993, and again, a couple of times I've tried it, it says it won't verify, and like I said, I've used the IMAP at yahoo.com or whatever.
Yeah, imap.mail.yahoo.com. Port is 993.
Yes.
You have to say TLS or SSL is a yes.
Yes, correct.
Your username is your full Yahoo mail address, including at Frontier.
Right, so it would be your full Frontier email address, including the at frontier.com or frontiernet.net, whichever one it is.
Yes, correct, exactly.
Can you log into the Yahoo webmail using...
Yes.
Okay, so we know your password is right.
Well, currently, it's on my mother-in-law's iPad, so that's why I need the help.
Yeah. One of the things that I've had to do now and then, because this has been a problem since Frontier started using Yahoo as their backend, set it up as a generic account. Don't say it's a Yahoo account. And spell your password wrong the first time.
Okay.
And then when it says I can't log in, then you can type the Yahoo addresses. Because the iPad is trying to be smart.
Because now you can configure by hand once it can't
log in.
Correct,
you can configure it manually. So the iPad is trying to be smart. You type in your Frontier address, and it sets it up as a Frontier POP.
Well, she already has that set up. It's already... But you're already in the mail account on the iPad is already using that POP3 account.
Correct. And because Frontier does not offer IMAP, it always sets it up as POP.
Okay.
So if you give it the wrong password when you're trying to set up an IMAP account, you can then change it to the Yahoo servers, and then it should let you get in as a generic IMAP account.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But you have to spell your password wrong the first time.
So that it gives you the...
Right. Otherwise, it will auto-set it up as a Frontier POP account.
Right.
But now, the first time that I'm setting it up now where it's not authorizing, I'm using the right password. You're saying just use a non-password there when I'm doing that?
Are you setting it up as a Yahoo account or a generic IMAP account?
It would be setting it up to a Yahoo account.
Right.
Don't do that. That's not what you want to do.
But as Yahoo.
Right. Don't do that. Set it up as a generic IMAP account.
Okay.
And spell the password wrong so you can go into the manual settings to put in the Yahoo address.
Yeah, see, I understand what you're saying, but I think I've already done that by trying to just set it up generically and using that, and it's still, I've set up a whole nother account, we'll say, doing it generically or manually, if you will.
And that usually works.
Yeah.
When spelling your password wrong the first time so you can set it up manually. And don't let it pick the Frontier POP server or the Yahoo POP server. So you have to type it in the manual connection yourself.
Yeah, I've tried this 1,000 times. I think I've done it that way also.
All right. Well, what it sounds like is you're going to have to give it, you're going to have to get somebody to look at it.
And
I'm sorry. You know. At this point, somebody's got to be sitting at it and looking at it. And we got to take a break.
All right. I appreciate it.
Okay. We got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 30 minutes after the hour. It is Soundbites. It is the truly great, member supported, award winning Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, 36 minutes after the hour, beg your pardon, we are Sound Bites and we have Mark from Greece on the line. Hiya, Mark. What's up?
Happy anniversary.
Thank you so much.
I wish I could have made the party.
Me too.
I'm so sorry I didn't.
But it was
anyways,
great.
a couple things I wanted to ask. First was I had purchased a new laptop. I got one of these Acer Nitro 5 gaming laptops that got on sale. Beautiful little thing, and it's got all the latest Windows updates. And when I went in to look at the processes, like you said, with the updates, I noticed that it's also on my other computer. If I go to Cortana, it says this UWP process group is suspended. Is suspending process to improve system performance, and it's got little leaves on it.
Right.
Yeah. What does that exactly mean?
Well, what's happened is, again, as we said at the top of the show, the latest Windows update means that Cortana is taking 40% of your processor. In your case, your system has shut it down because apparently it was taking more than 40%, and it shut it down. Some laptops are set up to do this. They can shut down processes that are too battery intensive or processor intensive in order to save the processor and battery. And yours did that. So Cortana has been shut down on your system. Do you use Cortana?
Not really.
Turn it off.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing is that it's also on my desktop doing the same thing. It says the same exact thing.
Right. Yeah. So that's the deal. You can... you can toggle the Hey Cortana off, but I don't think you can actually turn Katana herself off.
Right.
I don't think. But at any rate, yeah, that's just something Microsoft has to fix.
Yeah. Okay. So at least it's handling it. I really don't use it. And so it's suspending its process, so it's not taking up resources.
Right, right.
All right. Very good. Other thing is I loaded some files onto the laptop I needed, and I noticed one of them somehow got corrupted, and I wanted to delete it, and I couldn't delete it, and I couldn't delete it, and I couldn't delete it. And the only thing I could think of doing was going into safe mode and trying to get rid of that way.
Yep.
And I went into safe mode, and... I noticed I had the laptop has a pin that I put on it. I don't have it on my desktop. Everybody uses it, and that's okay. But on this, when it leaves the house, I have to make sure it's protected. So I have a pin on it, and it tells you to sign in. And I go to sign in, put my pin. It says it's incorrect, and it's saying password. So I'm trying to figure this out, and I ended up having to put my live password from my live account.
Right.
Okay. That is typical?
Yes.
Because I didn't know that, and I spent like 15 minutes trying to figure out what it meant by password. And the only other thing I had for Microsoft was that live account.
Yeah, what that helps you do is if you forget your password for your Windows computer, you can go on to the Microsoft's website and go through the Forgot Your Password procedure and reset your password from the website, which then changes it on your computer, too.
Okay.
Because it's tied to your Microsoft account online.
And by the way, sometimes Windows has a whole thing, all computers do, about who owns what file and what they can do with it. And every once in a while, it just screws up. And on Windows 10, you can fix that by right-clicking on the file or the folder, selecting Properties, click the Security tab, then click Advanced, and then change the name of the owner.
Right.
And make yourself the owner, whatever your login name is.
Right.
Right. Or you can, click Find Now and find yourself and that sort of thing. And then click OK. And now then click Apply. And now you're the owner. And you can now add permissions and you just give yourself full control.
Yeah, I think what happened with that one was it wanted to point back to the original computer it came from.
Oh, did you copy only the shortcut and not the file?
I'm not sure what it was, and it wasn't anything important, but it was in a group of things, and I knew it wasn't important, and it wouldn't let me get rid of it, but finally, when I went into safe mode, it did let me delete it.
Well, then you win.
Yeah, it was a win.
All right, good for you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have fun.
Thanks, bye.
Yeah, we should probably mention, by the way, for those of you with Pixel phones, you got an update this week, and it's very cool. A lot of nice new features to it. If you are not a Pixel owner, but you have Android, you may or may not get it at some point in the future. We've said this before, the big dog has to be the last one to mark the tree. If you have a Pixel phone, like any iPhone, because Google controls everything, you get the latest updates immediately. Everybody else, it's got to go through the carrier, and it's got to go through the manufacturer of the phone. They have to add all their bloatware and all the nonsense and everything else. And then eventually you get the update. But
maybe.
If you're a Pixel owner, it's straight to you. So there are some pretty cool features in it. It's Android 10. They've given up the cute dessert names.
Yeah.
The thing that most amazes me is live caption. If you are in any video thing at all, you can turn on live captioning. Now, I've talked about this before. If you are using Google Docs, you can hit the microphone and now you start talking and it transcribes everything you're saying onto the screen. Live captioning does the same thing for any video program.
Oh, so it'll add subtitles.
So it adds titles. So if you're on YouTube, or if you're in Duo, or you're in Skype, or you're in Hangouts, or you're anywhere on the planet, any program at all, if it is not pre-captioned. So right now, if you were watching us live on YouTube on your phone, you could turn on live caption, all the inanity you're hearing, you could also read.
Cool.
It's very cool.
Well, I was just using the Google Docs and doing just that.
Yep.
Instead of sitting there typing, I just turned on the microphone because I had this couple videos that had instructions, and I wanted to copy them all down. So, boom, I just sat there and took some notes, and then I dictated it right into it. Now I've got that Google Doc up there that no matter where I am, I want to know how to set it up.
I rarely actually type on my phone anymore, because when I take notes in Google Keep or when I'm on Google Docs or wherever I am, I can hit that button and just
that Google Keeps is the godsend.
Google Keep is
I love it. I've set up and this is just an idea for some folks. You know how you go to your doctor's office all the time and they're always asking you, all right, so what meds are you taking?
Yeah.
And you sit there and try to remember them all. Well, in Google Keeps, I just did up a little other note that tells when all the pills that I'm taking, when I take them. So when they ask me, so what are you taking? I just open up my phone, open up that. I go, here you go.
You can also share it with them if they have a Gmail address.
Yeah. But
if they don't, any address.
It just makes it easy for them. Oh, okay. They just look down. That's convenient. I go, yeah.
That's horrible that you take so much medicine, you have to write it down so you can remember.
Believe me, please. And hey, the older we get, the fewer we remember.
And how many syllables in most of the words?
Yeah. Oh, heck no. I just sit there and say, here's the list.
Google, Android now has a dark mode. I've never been a fan of dark mode because I come from the era when dark mode was lead hacksaws, 15-year-old kids who think they're cool.
Yeah.
But the reality is on your phone, it saves battery life.
Yeah.
Although battery life is greatly increased with this with Windows 10. Smart Reply, which you used to have in the Android messaging app, is now in every app.
Mm-hmm.
So it suggests replies for you to make. Some of the suggestions are ludicrous, but okay. Location and privacy tools are enhanced. So now when I first rebooted, now when I start a program that I haven't run in a while, it says, you know, this program has access to this and this and this. Do you want to stop that? Well, yes, I do. Thank you very much.
One of the best features that they added that I love, I get, you know, the phone calls and they look like they're, you know, local. And I'm sure everybody gets them. Well, it pops up on my screen, and because it doesn't have a name tied to it, I don't answer it. That's but right. I do have a little button there that says screen phone call. And it plays a Google thing that tells them that this is being monitored. If you're spam, forget it, because we're going to mark it. And it sits there and marks it as spam.
Yep.
I love it. Yep. I have cut down on so many robocalls and that. It's unbelievable thanks to that.
Yeah, I just, if you aren't in my contacts list,
yep,
I don't pay attention.
Yeah, well, like I say, I can just sit there and I just, for the heck of it, you know, you can ignore it, but I love it to just scan it.
Right.
And screen the call.
Right. Right. They also have new gestures.
Yep.
They also have code in there for foldable phones if those ever become useful. What I like is Project Mainline, they're calling it. So, yeah, exactly. So, for like I said, for those of us with Pixel phones, we get updates directly. Once you have Android 10, Project Mainline means that security updates and most other updates will come through the Play Store, so you don't have to wait for your manufacturer and your carrier to be the last one to mark the tree.
I would still love to get a hold of somebody at Google that has anything to do with the phones. I still say my idea for their next major, you know, 4 is already getting on the drawing boards. But if they can add a feature, say, to 5, the big 5, and be able to add a feature, it would be make it a little thicker and a bigger battery.
Yep. Well, you're seeing that in some phones now. Some of the big, you know, the XL size phones are touting bigger batteries. But
yeah, but
you're
you
right.
Got to have longer life because more and more folks, I mean, you can't go anywhere, folks. I defy anybody to go anywheres, whether it's a grocery store or super, you know, anywheres. And 99% of the people have their phone in their hand and they're looking down at it.
Yep.
They're glued to that phone somewheres in these, wherever you are, you won't go too far without finding at least 3 or 4 people staring down at their phone.
Yep.
You can't even go to dinner without people looking around the restaurant and seeing people face down looking at their phone.
Right.
It's sad, but...
Right. A couple of the other Android 10 features are augmented reality.
Uh-huh.
They're doing better with that. And calls now can be made to certain hearing aids.
Oh, yeah, the Wi-Fi ones, yeah.
Yeah, so now if you have a... and I believe certain brands that do other, like Bluetooth or whatever, you'll be able to send your phone calls to the hearing aids. So, because people have been complaining, of course, that they either... can't they're either talking like people do on television, like it's a walkie-talkie, which is the dumbest thing I've ever seen, or they have to take out a hearing aid, or if they're lucky they use the other ear or whatever that is. But now you'll be able to hook your hearing aid to it. There's also a very cool feature for assisted. There's an assisted, I forget exactly what they call it, but it's assisted something. And one of the things is live listening. And if you've got, it only works with headphones
now.
But if you put headphones on, it essentially works like a hearing aid. I attend a number of meetings where some people just speak too softly. I don't know if they think that means I'll pay more attention if they're speaking softly, or they just don't have enough confidence to speak up. I don't know what it is. But they speak really, really softly, and I can't hear them.
That's what I run into here on the phone.
Right.
Because I'm talking low.
You have to, because we're still on the air.
Yeah, and people don't, still to this day, and how many years have we been here?
Yeah.
And I have to...
And they whisper back.
Yeah, I have to turn the volume up to, I think it goes all the way up to 8. I have to crank it all the way up so I can hear them
right. In
the phone, because you guys are talking, and they don't.
Yeah, I know. And that's
No, you folks, when you call in, you can talk in a normal voice. I have to talk low because the guys are literally maybe 3 feet away from me when I'm answering the phone. And yes, I do wear a hearing aid and I need a little help of you guys speaking up. Not talking real soft.
Yeah, right. But this whole listen live, I don't think that's what it's called.
That'd be cool.
But it means now you can put a headphone in,
mm-hmm.
and in those meetings where people are speaking really, really softly, you can hear much, much better. Well, and hold on, it's called, it's under L. No.
See, I can do it with just squeezing the sides.
Yes, yes.
And it'll start listening.
Well, no, this is different. You have to have a headphone plugged in, and then I've already set it up so that automatically when I put my headphone in, it gives me the option to the speaker then becomes essentially a little hearing aid.
Oh, okay.
And I can set the phone here, uh-huh. and it amplifies everything it hears to me.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So it's a pretty cool feature. And I forget exactly what it's called, accessibility. There it is. Not talk back, not select to speak.
That's the problem. There's so many features. Every year they have to add new features to make it better than last year's.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's called sound amplifier.
So it starts with
Who would have thought?
So it starts with a curvy L.
Yeah, right. No, it's an ear. It's an ear in a pentagram. Pen.
So it's an evil.
It's evil. Pentagram.
Pentagon. It was solid.
Yeah, pentagon. Thank you. I knew it wasn't pentagram. It's just in my mind. I have no idea why I would think pentagram. But yeah. So there's a. Oh, there we go. There's some really nice features in 10. So, and honestly, there's nothing you can do to get it faster. You can complain to your carrier, they don't care. You can complain to the manufacturer, they don't care. But once you get it, one of the nice features will be that faster update mainlining, the project mainline, where you'll get at least security updates immediately.
Which are critical. Yeah.
But even so, it never is quick to get them on a non-Pixel phone.
Oh, heck no.
But you can't blame Google. They're putting them out right away.
Yeah. They're there.
They're there.
It's the carriers that you got to jump on because your particular carrier, doesn't really care.
Right. It also means developers can update their apps and games without disrupting anything else. And it's got some nice features for developers as well. But really, for most people, the important part is...
Like I say, I am so thankful for the Nexus 7 there. You know, burning up, going to burn up on me, and that
Flamin' Dave Enright.
I saw that the Pixel was coming out, and I waited that week instead of jumping on the other version of a Nexus phone.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I'll wait and try the Google. It was the best decision that I made in sticking with that because it is great that they don't throw all that bloatware and everything else on it, and it's just a great phone. I mean, even the pictures on it. That I take, and now
it's got the best camera
with a 3A XL. It takes great pictures.
Yeah,
and adjusting for the sunlight or shade or anything else, unbelievable. Hands down.
I've come this close to the 3A XL several times. We'll see.
Well, like I say, I was still.
I dropped my phone the other day, and my first thought was great. Apple's nothing had happened to it.
Apple's coming out with a new phone on your birthday.
That's right.
September 10th is the Apple event. Yeah.
So we're all have birthdays this month.
We'll switch you.
The show. We'll switch me. Switch me. No, I appreciate the thought. I am really appreciative.
Get yourself one for your birthday.
No. I like my Android.
No,
Pixel.
I'm talking about the Chromebook.
Oh, I could get myself a Chromebook.
Yeah.
Well, I'm waiting to see what comes out.
Because you really want a newer one. You've had that one for a long time now.
I've had this one for 6.5 years.
And that's why
it's no longer updating.
Well, that's the justification right there. Yeah. And it's your birthday coming up.
And it's my birthday. I'm waiting to see what the new September, October releases are of Chromebooks.
Mm-hmm.
Although they're starting to come out now. And there's some Acer has some really nice ones. Asus has some really nice ones. So we'll see. But
I can say I have gotten so spoiled by my Chromebook. Like I say, that's what I was doing, dictating in Google Docs upstairs. I was just sitting there, spoke into it. It translated everything for me, got it all documents all set. saved me the hassle of typing and all that other stuff. And boom, it's just up there.
Yep. The one I was looking at the other day is essentially a 14-inch screen in a 13-inch form factor because they got rid of the bezels.
Yep.
More and more are doing
that.
Yeah.
And they say it's got a 12-hour battery life, but that depends on what you're doing with the device, right?
Yeah.
But yes. Now I take mine out and I write books on it, and so I take mine out and I sit there with my headphones in writing. I'm not going to get 12 hours because I'm doing so much on it, but still, I should get a full day.
And anyways, you know, after you wouldn't want to be on it for 12 hours anyways. You'd want to take some break in between.
That's right.
And that's where you could take the time, say you're taking a little half-hour break, plug it in, and it charges fast.
Yep. Yep. So, the new ones charge fast, and they're all USB-C.
It's when you forget to go to bed again. Oh, crap, the battery's dead.
Yeah, right. yeah. Well, the only guy who forgets to go to bed is right over there.
No.
Day you get green light, you let me know. I will call you at 6:30 the next morning.
No problem. No, I had another gentleman. He's in Indiana. I was talking to him on the ham radio. And he wanted me to explain how to do this one procedure that they're doing on it. So I walked him through the whole thing.
Sure.
We were on the phone for a good hour and a half. And I got them all set up. And I remembered you. I said, all right, tell you what, Terrell, I do not want to receive a phone call from your wife telling me that you are up all night playing with FT8. It's another type of program, FT8 and FT4. And he just thought about it for a minute and started laughing. I go, no, it can happen. It happened to me, and a friend of mine called me.
You called me.
That's right.
It's one of the few times I've ever heard you swear.
And I was up all night. He goes, that's a good story. I'll have to remember that one. So lose my number.
Yeah.
So I heard, didn't hear from him for a couple of days. And he goes, yeah, no. He says, I was only up until 2.
Oh, that
all right, well, yeah.
Complete play. Let's check this out. I get a notification here. Mm-hmm. And when I look at it, it's the show. My Chromebook gives me notification that Soundbites is...
You're subscribed to our YouTube channel.
That I'm subscribed to the YouTube channel. And it's actually our picture. Actually, it's my picture. Well done them, knowing who to put up here.
It's backwards.
Yeah, it is. All right, that music tells me you've wasted an hour of your life with this nonsense, but you're going to get the chance to do it again. Look, if you haven't learned in 30 years, you haven't learned in an hour. So we're going to give you another chance to do this. Take a quick bio break. We'll be back in a few minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Holy cow, that must mean we're Soundbites. Hurling headlong into our 31st year right here on the Truly Great, and truly grateful to you that we can continue to be member-supported, award-winning Jazz 90.1. We will see you in just a few minutes.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Instagram at WGMC Jazz 901.
Welcome back to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites, on member supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966 Jazz. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And it's 6 minutes after the hour. We're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the first show of our 31st year on the air. Man, you guys are old.
Thank you. I resemble that.
Yes. Well, you should. I want to thank View52 in the YouTube chat. I will check out the Lenovo C630. I don't want a 15-inch model. It's just a little big for carrying around.
Oh, see, I love my 15-inch.
I love my 15-inch. I have a 15-inch that I do carry around, but it's a little heavy.
Yeah, well, I fully understand. Because mine, I don't mind. I'm carrying it around, but just in the house.
Whether
downstairs, upstairs. If the wife needs an extra computer, she comes up and grabs the Chromebook.
It's more powerful than this one, so when I leave town, I take that one. But it's a little big to be hauling on and off airplanes and trying to put it under the seat and carry it around. A 14-inch or a 14-inch and a 13-inch form factor would be much, much better.
I say that seems to be the trend. You know, it's been the trend for quite a while with TVs.
Right.
To get the smaller bezels on the side.
Right.
Now, finally, monitors are doing the same thing, trying to get more of that real estate, you know, and narrowing the frame around it.
One of the side effects of that is that TVs generally come with really crappy speakers. Because they kind of expect you to plug into a soundbar of some kind.
I have that on my big 55-inch soundbar, and I love it with the subwoofer.
Right. And when I travel, I do like to have a couple of movies, the Google movies. You can download them and keep them local to watch on the plane. And so I have my headphones, but I like a nice size screen for that, but 15 inches is still just a little big to carry around. So,
we were on the train once and recently, and a guy was watching Deadpool 3 or 4
rows ahead
of us. He had his headphones on.
But you could still hear
it? No, but you could see he was watching Deadpool. Not quite the movie you want to watch on a public train.
Well, there's that, yeah.
Except I wanted to watch it with him.
That is a great movie.
Years ago, back when Verizon did real unlimited data. I was on a train to New York and my wife wanted to farm on Facebook. So I set up my hotspot because when I'm Verizon, you're legally allowed to use a hotspot. And I set up the hotspot and these two ladies came down the train and they stopped and they said, "Is there Wi-Fi on this train?" And she said, "No, my husband is sharing his phone connection." And they both went, "Aww."
You were the hero.
And then they asked for the password.
Right. But that was it, yeah. All right, speaking of Facebook, good segue. Hundreds of millions of phone numbers linked to Facebook accounts have been found online. The exposed server contained more than 419 million records over several databases of users across geographies, including 133 million records on U.S.-based Facebook users, 18 million records of users in the UK, and another more than 50 million records on users in Vietnam, of all places. But because the server wasn't protected with a password, you idiots, anyone could find and access the database. Each record contained a user's unique Facebook ID and the phone number listed on the account. A user's Facebook ID is typically a long, unique, and public number associated with their account, which can be easily used to discern an account's username. But phone numbers have not been public in more than a year since Facebook restricted access to users' phone numbers. Several news outlets, but it's too late, of course. The horse has already left that barn. Several news outlets verified a number of records in the database by matching a known Facebook user's phone number against their listed Facebook ID. They also checked other records by matching phone numbers against Facebook's own password reset feature, which can be used to partially reveal a user's phone number linked to their account. Some of the records also had the user's name, gender, and location by country. This is the latest security lapse involving Facebook data after a string of incidents since the Cambridge Analytica scandal, which saw more than 80 million profiles scraped to help identify swing voters in the 2016 U.S. presidential election. Since then, the company has seen several high-profile scraping incidents, including an Instagram, which recently admitted to having profile data scraped in bulk. This latest incident exposed millions of users' phone numbers just from their Facebook IDs, putting them at risk of spam calls and SIM swapping attacks, which relies on tricking cell phone carriers into giving a person's cell phone number to an attacker. With someone else's phone number, an attacker can force reset the password on any internet account associated with that number. And there's nothing you can do about it. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Just like Mike did from Rochester, New York. Hiya, Mike. What's up?
Yeah, hi. You guys are talking about the Android, and I have raised a couple of good questions. I spent some quite a bit of money and got a new one with all the bells and whistles on it. I noticed this new one is, for some strange reason, my old one never did this. The new one will, you'll be listening to somebody streaming something, whether it's music or talk, it'll pause, like it drops the signal.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it just, it repeats it. It you don't miss anything, but it just repeats it. I didn't know if it was a problem with the phone or the, the satellite or the antenna. And the other problem I noticed, it seemed like the faceplate, some of the icons, instead of just touching them with your finger, your thumb, and have them activate, it's some of these, you just have to keep punching it almost with your fingernail until it catches it. Is that my phone, or is that just a symptom of this new thing with this overloaded software that they have?
No, that's definitely your phone.
Although generally you can't use your nail, you have to use your finger because it's they're capacitive sensors, so they have to detect the electrical current in your finger.
Right.
That's a good point, because if you hit the phone icon, which you use quite a bit, I mean, I touch it, like you say, like my old one, it would pop up right away. This one, you just punch, and the whole thing will quiver a little bit, the whole picture, you know, with all the icons.
Oh.
So I just didn't know if it was me or if it was, I'd take the phone back and get a new one.
That might be you, because that what you just described is the symptom when you kind of hit off center and start to swipe. So if you were to poke and hold on an area that isn't an icon, that is the background, you can slide to the next screen. And sometimes what happens is if you hit just a little off center on an icon and slide, it kind of starts to shake the screen like it's going to move something.
Right, yeah. But, yeah, I'm more concerned also about the dropping of signals. Do you guys ever get that? Is that
who's your carrier?
The nature of what, the ether that it goes through, or should it do that? It doesn't do it a lot, I will characterize it, but it does it sometimes, and you get your attention like it's, where'd it go? And then it comes back again. You know?
Who's your carrier? Who's your carrier?
The carrier's Verizon.
Wow, no, I'm Verizon, too, and it... are you listening through what app are you listening through?
I don't have an app for it. I just pull it up. It's like for example, I like to listen to Canadian classical music, and they will, and sometimes it'll drop it, and then but it repeats it. You know,
what app? What app do you tap on to open that?
Looking for the signal.
Is it strictly that one station, or is it a lot of stations?
No, because there's a guy I listen to on a San Francisco station, and it's a talk show, and it'll happen to him sometimes. But it'll just go blank. But then he goes back and repeats it from the start, like, you know, your record's flipped
out of
the
groove. Mike, what app are you using?
What app do you touch to open up that audio stream?
You've got to have an icon.
That would be TalkStream Live.
TalkStream Lite?
No, TalkStream LIB Live. TalkStream Live.
Oh, okay.
So one of the things I have seen is that when you're streaming audio, it can pause when some other audio happens. So like a notification, you know, you got an email, so it wants to bing that you got an email. It will pause the audio while that other audio plays.
The old one used to do that. It would make the sound go down, and the sound wouldn't come back up. You could hear it in the background. The new one, you can hear, you'll get a notification sound, like chimes or whatever, and the audio goes down a little bit, but it'll come right back up once the notification sound is over. So that works good on this new one. But it's just the, I'm more concerned about the faceplate, because some of these, I swear to you, you just have to hit it. And hit it, and I mean hit it in the sense that you just touch it with your, like a tactile kind of a thing.
All right, let's just go back and finish that off. TalkStream sounds like that's an issue with that program. You might try a different program and see if the same thing happens. That's the only way you'll know if it's that. Now, as for the screen stuff, are the icons that you're having problems with all in the same area of the screen? Like in the lower left or something?
No, they're not. They're not crammed together, no. No, they're spread out.
But are they, like, on the bottom of the half of the screen, or, you know, what I'm wondering is if there's an issue with a particular section of your screen.
Yeah, it could be the touch area is not working right.
In which case, yeah. You should be able to take it back to the manufacturer, because you're certainly still under warranty, and get it replaced.
Yeah, good point. I think I'll do that, because it's just not going away. Okay, I just want to get your input. I appreciate that. Thank you very
much. It's our pleasure. Good luck.
Goodbye. Yeah.
You know, the reality is that there are issues, you know.
Yeah.
It's hardware, and some of them are, you know, great, and some of them have an issue.
They make a million of them a day.
Well, that's right. And whether it's an Apple product or a Pixel or any manufacturer.
Doesn't matter.
Stuff happens.
Yep.
You know, that's just life the way it works.
Life in the big city.
Life in the big city. Speaking of iOS...
Yeah.
For the first time ever, the security exploit broker Zerodium is paying higher prices for zero-day attacks that target Android than it pays for comparable attacks targeting iOS. An updated price list published Tuesday shows Zerodium will now pay $2.5 million apiece for full-chain, zero-click, with persistence Android 0 days, compared with only $2 million for iOS 0 days that meet the same criteria. The previous program overview offered $2 million for unpublished iOS exploits, but made no reference at all to the exploits for Android. The guy who runs the Zerodium is called Bekrar, and I don't know if that's a name or just a handle, said the move was prompted by a glut of working iOS exploit chains that has coincided with the growing difficulty of finding comparable exploits for versions 8 and 9 of Android. In a message, Bekrar wrote, during the past few months, we've observed an increase in the number of iOS exploits, mostly Safari and iMessage chains, being developed and sold by researchers from all around the world. The zero-day market is so flooded by iOS exploits that we've recently started refusing some of them. On the other hand, Android security is improving with every new release of the operating system, thanks to the security teams of Google and Samsung, so it became very hard and time-consuming to develop full chains of exploits for Android, and it's even harder to develop zero-click exploits not requiring any user interaction. In accordance with these new technical challenges related to Android security and our observations of market trends, we have believed the time has come to allocate the highest bounties to Android exploits until Apple re-improves the security of iOS and strengthens its weakest parts, which are iMessage and Safari. The price change comes 4 days after researchers from Google's Project Zero reported that users of fully patched versions of iOS were vulnerable to iOS 0 days that were exploited in the wild for more than 2 years. Attacks against 14 separate vulnerabilities were packaged into 5 separate exploit chains that gave the attackers the ability to compromise up-to-date devices. The Project Zero report that websites openly and indiscriminately exploited iOS 0 days for more than 2 years challenged many of the conventional assumptions that some security researchers made about security on the Apple mobile OS. The haphazard way the exploits were used on the sites discovered by Project Zero suggests that unpublished iOS attacks were plentiful, despite the considerable expertise needed to develop them. So, are you still feeling smug about your iPhone? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Basically, what they're saying is, it's supply and demand. There are so many iOS exploits out there that they're not worth much anymore. And there are so few Android exploits out there, they're worth a lot more.
And Apple just accidentally... added one in the 12.4 update. They accidentally re-enabled a jailbreak bug from the 12.3 update. So the 12.4.1 update fixed the fix for the fix.
They fixed the fix. Yeah. Patch the patch, the patch. Unpatch the patch.
Unpatch the patch, yeah.
Yeah.
And we're just, a few weeks after Black Hat, so all those exploits are now coming out.
And theoretically next week, September 10th, there will be a whole set of new announcements, and I cannot imagine there won't be a newer version of iOS.
iOS 13 should be coming,
Right.
New iPhones, probably a new watch.
Yeah.
If they follow up. This is probably the most predictable event they ever have. It's, you know, every September for the last, what, 7-8 years now, they have released a new iPhone and new iOS.
Hmm. But, you know, what more features can they put on these phones?
Well, that's the problem.
You were just scrolling through so many features to find the one you were looking for.
But the thing that is, though, is, you know, whether it's Android or iPhone,
right,
they've gotten to the almost the saturation level that, you know.
Well, now, what you're saying, though, is what they can put in software.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't help in selling new hardware.
New hardware, yeah.
Right. So you can put all the features you want in the software, but if there are no new features, why would I update my perfectly good iPhone for essentially the same perfectly good iPhone?
And the thing that is in some of these features that they're rolling out, that, you know, enhancements are able to down, you know, if you got an older version of the phone, still use.
Make the old phone better.
Yeah, make it like our current one, you know, the Google. The features they're adding, they're updating the software. Like you say, just adding more features within, but the phone is still capable, doesn't change the phone physically anyway.
Yep.
Right.
The big rumor is that there's going to be a third camera on the back for an ultra wide angle view.
Right. And, now, please, everyone, pay attention to what Steve is saying. These are rumors. Don't call us next week and say, but you said...
Yeah.
These are rumors and may or may not be true.
Right. One of the jokes was that whatever rumor you hear, there probably is a prototype that has that feature.
Right.
The
right.
one that actually ships, we'll find out what they do.
Right.
So that the ultra-wide-angle lens will be able to take more wide shots, so you'll be able to catch people, you know, off on the end. You'll be able to recompose the picture in the camera. Just like right now with their depth sensors, you can change the focus. You can focus in the front or focus in the back after you take the picture, which is pretty cool.
I was doing that with a couple pictures I took the other day. Very cool.
Yeah. Yep.
So now you'll be able to grab somebody else on the side. I saw it in a prototype commercial years ago, where you take a bunch of pictures of, say, you know, people in a group, and in every single picture there's something wrong.
Yep.
You know, this guy's got their eyes closed in that shot, and this person's hair is out of the way in that shot. I want to be able to have the camera look at all these 20 shots and give me one picture that is right, that has everybody looking at the camera, everybody doing it right.
The Pixel 3 has something called Top Shot, which is exactly that. Mm-hmm. It is exactly
and,
that.
And computational photography, that's being called
now. Yeah. Right, yeah. And they call it Top Shot. And I don't know if my phone has it. I'm sure yours does.
Yep.
The problem
but
there...
But what it does is it essentially takes 15 or 20 shots and then just picks the good one and throws the rest of them away.
The problem is becoming now that every picture you take is processed in some way. So the old adage about a picture is worth 1,000 words or photographic evidence.
Yeah,
any picture you take has now been modified by the camera in some way before you even see it.
Yeah, adjustments, whether the lighting.
The auto HDR. Yeah. So HDR was a real big thing where there's dark areas and there's light areas. So to take a picture in a dark area, you need to open your aperture way up. But to take a picture in a light area, you need to close your aperture way down.
Right.
So you can't get one picture with both. So now the camera took two pictures with each setting and merge them together.
Right, in Android, that's called night sight.
Yeah, and the newer cameras will take, you know, 5, 10, 20 pictures
right.
and mix everything together, all the features that photographers used to have to do in the darkroom or with lenses or settings in the camera. The cameras are now doing with you know, signal DSP, signal processors in the camera, that this perfect shot comes out every time, but it's not real, quote-unquote.
Right.
Yeah.
But you, now, right now, that Top Shot thing is only on the Pixel 3. It may not be on the 3A yet, but it will eventually. Google says they will bring it to every phone. But if you don't have it yet, that's because you don't have a Pixel 3. So don't even think about it. I don't know if it's on the 3A, but I know it's on the 3.
And that's how even Google companies will differentiate their high-end cameras and their low-end cameras by putting different features here and there.
Right.
Even though they run the same OS, the different hardware features can do different things.
Right. And, you know, we were talking about this the other day. I'd be interested in getting a new phone, but the Pixel 3a XL is the only one I'm interested in because I don't want to spend more for my phone than I spend for my computer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
Well, the majority of people are paying the $50 a month payment plans.
They're then you pay even more.
They're not paying off the $1,000 phone right now. I just pay every month.
Instead, they pay $1,500 or $1,800 for that $1,000 phone. Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, I got 30% interest, but I'm only paying $50 a month.
Right. Exactly. In the long run, you pay half again or more for the phone, but it's smaller bites. And I get that. I do. I get that. But yeah, so there's a whole lot of choices out there for phones. Everybody wants the high-end features and wants to pay the low-end price. That's kind of the idea behind the Pixel 3a in both its regular and XM
boy,
models.
Do they still try to sell you the 3.
Oh, sure. They'll always want to upsell.
Yeah.
You don't get the spiffs for the cheap stuff.
That's one of the rumors about the new iPhone. Because the high-end iPhones are $1,000 and more, the rumor is they're going to be called the iPhone Pro. And what now is the iPhone XR, is the less expensive model, is just going to be iPhone. Because that starts at $700.
Right.
The iPhone starts at $700. The iPhone Pro starts at $1,000.
Yeah. Well, the guy was sitting there trying to say the camera, and he says, no, it's the same camera.
Yeah.
It's
the spiffs. And folks, that's spiff, not spliff. I don't know what spiff stands for, but it's basically the money you get from the manufacturer to sell a specific thing, money or some perk of some sort.
Yeah, some type of perk.
When we were selling Osborne's at Christmas time, the spiff was for every 5 or 10 you sold. I forget what the number was, but you sold 10 computers, you got a computer.
Yep.
You got a computer, and if you sold 10 more, you got the higher floppy density. And if you sold 10 more, you got a screen. And sold 10 more, you got a modem. I sold so many Osborne ones at Christmas that I had the full set of things twice. And then they wouldn't give me any more. So I put all the other ones in the other people's names in the store, and everybody got the complete full set of Osborne stuff.
Well, that's the thing. He was very persistent. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
And trying to, earn his spiff, but it was like he finally
realized. And I get it. That's how they make their money.
Right. But he finally realized that, no way was he going to talk me out of getting what I wanted.
Right.
There's a TV show like that where they sell stuff to the customer and then have the lackey do all the paperwork. He put his name down on the paperwork and wins the top salesman of the month prize.
There you go.
Because it's his name.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You continue, for some reason, to listen to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites. It's right here on the Truly Great, and truly grateful to you that we can continue to be member-supported, award-winning Jazz 90.1. We'll be right back.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have Steve from Greece, New York on the line. Hi, Steve. What's up?
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen, and I use the term literally.
Thank you so much.
I figure your show wouldn't be complete if you didn't get a Microsoft Office question.
Thanks for calling. Next caller, please.
So, I use Office a lot. I use Excel and Word almost exclusively. If you right-click on a cell, you get a drop-down menu with, copy, paste, all that other stuff. And I've been able to find how to edit that. But across the top, you get a horizontal menu that looks, a little bit like your Quick Access, but it's filled with the options that I have in this horizontal.
Are you talking about the ribbon?
Yeah, well, but it's not. It's the ribbon that's displayed directly above the drop-down menu when you right-click, not across the top. If you right-click on a cell, you get the drop-down menu, and then immediately above that, there is a horizontal menu ribbon. It's nowhere near, doesn't go all the way across the screen, things like that. And I would like to change what options I have in there. I have no idea what that's called. I've spent a lot of time trying to find it. It would be, because it's right at the cell you're working on, it would be extremely useful if I could modify what shows up there.
Right. I know that there's a
commands option where you can choose what commands you can hide and show. But I don't know if you can actually change the menu.
Is it the one that drops down with the...
Yeah, they're context menus. They're called context menus. And I know there is a way, I believe you do it through XML, I believe.
What?
Oh, no, you have to use VBA code.
Not much in the code.
Well, there you go. But yes, you can do that with something called Ribbon X. I believe that's an add-on. But it's called a context menu. Any of those drop-down menus are officially known as drop-down menus. And what they have is XML, which is extended markup language. And those are all kept either on the computer in some way. But what you do is you can add items there. If you don't, well, I hate to say this, if you don't know much about XML, you got a long slog ahead of you to learn it.
Now, is this a menu that you have created for the cell, or is it one directly from Excel?
It's directly from Excel.
Okay, because you can edit your own contextual items.
Right, right. I've done that, and I have the quick access menu is handy, but because this is right above, right exactly where you're working,
right,
it would be handier if I could modify what shows up in that menu.
Right. The thing to do is to start looking for how to edit Excel cell right-click menu.
Somebody just wrote
or
it.
Or the custom context menu, rather.
Somebody just wrote in, Nick, just text us in here. I'm guessing this guy is seeing the paste option. Just the text, everything, just the formatting, comma, merge, comma, format, etc.
Well, that's the regular contextual menu, yeah.
Right, and he wants to add to that.
Well, that's actually,
No, I know what you're talking about, and there's a whole bunch of choices you can make there,
right.
And you want to add something to it, and the way you do that is with XML, I hate to say that, because you can do all kinds of things with it, cut, copy, paste, clear contents, filter, sort, insert comments, all kinds of things. And
I found a plugin called Menu Writer.
Yeah, there's one called Menu Writer. There's that other one that I just mentioned, which I can't remember the name of all of a sudden. But basically what you're doing is you need to write VBA code, Visual Basic for Applications code. And you can do that. Alt F11 will open up the window to do that, but now you have to know how to write the code. Or find it online so that you can add it and insert it. I'm sorry, but there's no shortcut to that. That's how it's done.
How important is it to me, and how much free time do I have?
Exactly right. That is exactly right.
Well, and with one of these plugins, that will make it easier to write the code because you can do it graphically instead of needing to actually type code commands.
Right. The other thing is you can ask how much it would cost to have someone write it for you on Fiverr.
Fiverr?
Fiverr.com. And what it does is that's you find freelancers to write code for you.
Ah.
So you explain what it is you want, and people bid on it, and you can decide whether or not to pay them. And they've got a whole rating system, so you can tell how good they are, and yada yada yada, and that sort of fair. But the basic idea is there are several like it. The one I'm most familiar with is Fiverr, although it's the look says Fiverr, but it's, right.
They probably want more than a Fiverr to do your code, though.
Well, yeah, right. And it depends. I mean, something like this may not cost them a lot of money from somebody who knows VBA, knows how to write Excel macros and blah, 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 and can just make it happen pretty quickly.
Yep.
Yeah, for them, it's just, oh, yeah, I can do that.
But the important thing is how do you explain what it is you want done. You have to craft that very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see how efficient I am with the language. How many times did I have to tell you?
Yeah, well, you're right, right. That's not your fault. That's
just the way it is.
Us as well. But definitely, once you know the special terms like context menu and Visual Basic, VBA rather, Visual Basic for Applications, you should be able to craft a query that should get you a decent number of intelligent responses.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Yep, good luck.
Thank you. I think I'll need it.
All right. Have fun. It's
coding is fun.
Coding is fun. I haven't done it
in so long.
I've been on YouTube. There's a learning Python series.
Yeah.
From I think it's called Socratica. Very clever, very well done, very intelligently written and designed, and I've been learning some fun, interesting things about Python.
When I was in school, we took a class on the future of programming languages, and C was kind of the highlight.
You're getting old.
They're way past that now.
Yeah.
None of the languages we use today, I think, had even been conceptually thought of when I was in school.
Yeah, right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Stephen from Rochester, New York. Hiya, Stephen. What's up?
Hey, how are you doing today?
Peachy, how are you?
Oh, not bad. I got a question about how I'm starting to like Windows 10, right? I don't use the Internet. I just use stuff for running applications and software.
Sure.
But basically, I got my computer divided into partitions, which has three different Linux programs and one Windows. Now, I'm starting to like Windows 10 a lot, but I have one problem. I can't seem to get into any of the Linux partitions where I have files to open them up or anything. Is there any way of doing that through Windows at all? Getting into Linux partitions?
Not easily, no. You can boot. What you can do is boot, and I'm assuming you're doing multi-boot, so you can reboot into a different partition. Yes?
Yeah, I just open up Windows, and I try to go, you know, I look in the control panel under, you know, where the computer management is, and it shows you all the different partitions. It shows up there as healthy and everything.
Yeah, but you got to boot.
I don't get it. Like, if I go into this PC, right, and I go and I look at the devices and drives, it doesn't show up anywhere.
Right. No, you've got to boot an initial boot up. You got to have the computer ask you what partition you want to boot to.
Well, there are a couple of programs that you can add to your Windows file systems drivers that will do this. Steve is going to the site right now. He's going to put up a list of what those are. I did this Access Linux partition from Windows 10 and picked.
Yeah, the big issue is Linux is probably in XFAT, the Linux file system.
Well, EXT2 or 3, really.
Yeah,
and then Windows doesn't know anything about that. So I've created EXT4 partitions where I put all the files in. The thing is, if I'm in Linux, I can get into any of the Windows.
Because Linux can read an NTFS partition, but Windows cannot read the X partition.
However, you can add a driver called EXT2FSD, which will let you read EXT2, 3, and 4 system file partitions. So you can read those file systems natively, access the file system via drive letter, just like you do anything else. And what Steve is going to do is post a link to that thing. There's three different programs that will do it, EXT2FDS, and there's a disk internals program called Linux Reader, and EXT2 Explorer. Is not as full featured, but lets you do some of the same stuff. So Steve is going to put up a link, or has already put up a link. He's very quick to these things, and they will show you how they work, and you can pick the one that suits you best.
That's the same kind of thing we've run into in the Mac world, is that Windows doesn't care. It will read NTFS, period.
Right.
Where in the Mac world, we've had to make NTFS readers. And so to let Windows read our disks, we have to format them for Windows. With Linux, the same way. If you want Windows to read its disk, you have to format it for Windows. And being able to install a foreign file system so that it can read those other partitions, it's just something Microsoft doesn't care about.
Right.
They almost don't acknowledge any other OS exists.
Right.
Okay, so that means, what the procedure means, you're going to have to get rid of a partition and recreate a new one.
No. What you do is you add to Windows this driver.
Oh, I see. Okay,
and it then reads, it's a file system driver. So it will read those EXT2, 3, or 4 file systems.
Oh, that's cool. That's good. I'd like to see that. I'll check. It's going to be up at your website then?
It's up at the website. Even as we speak, it's up at the website. It's right there near the top. It's the third one down because we've got two that are, maybe we could.
Yeah, I can probably get rid of that podcast one.
Also the other, well, maybe they leave one. And it's called Three Ways to Access Your Linux Partitions from Windows.
Hey, great. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Yeah, there you go. Have fun.
Yeah.
One of the other things on the Mac is that Apple has built in an NTFS read, option, but we don't have an NTFS write option. That's a third-party pay program.
Of course it is. Of course it is. No, I get it. There's no longer. I got him on Frontier email. Okay. You got your Rich. Rich from Irondequoit got his person on Frontier Yahoo Mail, and he said thanks. Okay, our next caller is Rob from Greece, New York. Hi, Rob. What's up?
I just wanted to thank you guys for 30 years of service to the community and everything.
Well, that's very nice. Thank you so much. We really appreciate that.
Jazz 90.1 is one of the greatest stations around.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, another unsolicited testimonial. Thank you, Rob. We appreciate that very much.
Hope you do 30 more. Thank you.
Thank you. That's our plan. And I do want you to know that's not Rob Linton from Greece, New York. It's a different Rob entirely. Rob Linton. He's got to hear it again. Thank you. We're very honored to be on this station. It's a great station. They've given us a home. Rob has given us a home, and we're very honored to be here. Our next caller, Joel from Pittsford, New York. Hiya, Joel. What's up?
Hi, guys. At the beginning of the show today, you mentioned that Jack Garner had cut the cord. And I just saw his post online.
Yeah.
And I want to let you all know that we are going to be doing another version of the Cutting the Cable Cord Talk this Thursday at 2 p.m. at the JCC. It's free and open to public. It's completely updated for the newer services, so everybody is welcome. Thursday, September 12th, 2 p.m. at the JCC.
2 p.m. I'm writing that down. Thanks. So Cutting the Cord Talk at JCC, Thursday the 12th, September, 2 p.m., free to the public. Very nice. Public service. Thank you.
You got it. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Yep. And believe me, cutting the cord is something more and more and more and more and more and more people are doing. Many of them are not cutting the cord, just adding those services. So whether you cut the cord or not, you can certainly add many of those services.
I was ahead of my time.
You were ahead of your time.
The problem now is...
We'd like you to stay ahead of your time.
Yeah. The problem now is subscription fatigue. I've got Netflix and Hulu and HBO and this and that, and now Disney Plus is coming out. Apple TV Plus is coming out. Do I want to go with Sling TV or do I want to go with YouTube TV? And it's just... Now there's too many choices. So the irony is, for years, we've been complaining that we want the choice of what shows we get.
Right.
And the cable company has said, no, that's too expensive. And we said, screw you, we're going to cut the cord. We have. Now, it's too expensive because there's so many different subscriptions you have to get everything you want to watch.
Well, that's going back to what I originally said when I was making the decision to cut the cord. I sat for almost, I'd say, 9+ months.
Yeah.
Just going through what I watch.
And you have to write down the network. You can't say I watch Channel 10 every night because
you gotta
it's a different number.
Yeah, you got to put down the program and the network it's on. And I made a list for over, like I say, 9+ months. And then that's when I made the decision, cut the cord, went to Sling, and $30 a month.
Right.
Yeah, I can handle that.
For me, it's easy. I only watch about 4 programs on commercial television, as long as and you know, as long as I can get TCM, Turner Classic Movies, and a couple of others, I'm a happy man.
Well,
so I guess
say Sling, that's got it already in their small package.
Yep,
because they've got different bundles, a blue and an orange,
and that's always the problem. I was working with a customer this week, and they watched FS1 and FS2. Well, FS1 is in this package, but if you want FS2, you have to buy another package.
Right. Or combine them for just a little less than buying the two separately.
Yeah. There's always that one channel you want to watch that's in the next higher cost package.
Sure, and they do that on purpose. They know who watches what.
Yeah.
And they cut them up that way on purpose.
But
I
it's still cheaper than cable.
It's still cheaper than cable.
They
I know what I pay every month for cable, and I've done some research, and I get away with about... maybe paying 60% of what I'm paying now.
Because of the different, you know, bundles and that they force you to buy. You just don't get, you know, cable TV. You've got to bundle it with this and that to get the discounts.
But even if you cut out phone and television and just go with cable internet, and then add in a TV service. So you don't have to buy your TV service from the cable company. You can buy your TV service from an internet company.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes they are less expensive. So just cutting out phone. A lot of people just have a land phone because it's in the bundle. But most people are using their cell phones now as their only phone. So you may not need a landline.
Right.
Security alarms are one of the things where you sometimes need a landline for. But cutting down to just an internet service and then getting your television on top of the internet is often a lot cheaper.
Right. So let's say, and you got to pay attention because let's say you decide you want Disney Plus at $13 a month.
Yeah.
Well, you can drop Hulu at $6 a month because it's included in Disney Plus.
Right.
And ESPN they have at $5 a month because that's also included. So that's already, what, 6 and 5 is 11. No, yes. 6 and 5 is 11, and now this is $13 a month.
So I don't watch that much sports, so if but I want Disney and Hulu. Well, my wife wants Disney and I want Hulu. They throw in ESPN that I don't really need, but it's cheaper than buying the two separately.
Right. So you have to pay attention, and it takes a lot of work. All right, that's it. We're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. Thank you very much. Thank you for 30-plus years of being on the air. We are honored and delighted. Now don't go away. George is coming in one more time to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael's here to keep him on the straight and narrow. Listen, George has done an amazing job all these decades, and we are honored and proud to have him as a member here. But we'll be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites, right here on the Truly Great, and truly grateful to you that we can continue to be member-supported with your generous assistance. The award-winning Jazz 90.1. Be good to each other. We will see you in just 166 hours.